We're looking at a series entitled Matters of the Heart. We've looked at the dangers of a heart of unbelief, or the dangers of refusing God's voice. We've also looked at last week, getting stoned, characteristics of a hard heart. Today, we want to look at a healthy heart, part one. So this is a part of a part. We won't get it all today, but we'll get part of it today. And then next time we'll finish up. The leading cause of death, not only in the U.S., as most of you are aware, but around the world, is heart disease. And more than half of the deaths that occur as a result of heart disease are in who? Men. Yeah. Heart disease is a term used to describe several conditions, many of which are related to plaque buildup in the walls of the arteries. As the plaque builds up, the arteries narrow, and this makes it more difficult for blood to flow and creates a risk for heart attack or stroke. Other types of heart problems include angina, arrhythmias, heart failure, and so on. And so we're bombarded with commercials and ads of how to keep your heart healthy. Everything from drugs to vitamins to diet and exercise and how to relieve stress. And God is also concerned about our heart as well. Not just our physical heart, of course He is, that ticker inside your chest. But as we're learning in our study, God is also concerned about our heart. In other words, where we live or what we live out of. Proverbs 4 and 23, as we've seen, says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And in Psalm 101, verse 2, this is a great psalm for all of you who are leaders, those of you in leadership. David says, "I will behave wisely in a perfect way," or a mature way. And his prayers to the Lord, "Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." We've learned that Solomon started out great, but the Bible tells us that he ended very badly. And in 1 Kings 11, it tells us, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as was the heart of his father David." So Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David. And Solomon fell short because his heart was drawn from the Lord. But in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, Peter reminds us of this. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." The word "perfect" there means to complete or mature. For our study, we're going to call it healthy. Healthy. As being perfect in Scripture speaks of completeness and maturity, perfect uprightness, being without spot or blemish, totally obedient. It also refers to finish what was started. A healthy heart. So for our definition, we're going to say that a healthy heart is a responsive heart. It quickly and totally responds to the Lord's voice. In other words, when you and I have a perfect heart or a healthy heart, it says this, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening to do whatever it is that you want me to do." And there are three distinctives about a healthy heart, and we'll only list one of them today, and we'll finish. We'll pick up the other two next week. So the first one that we want to look at today and spend our time talking about is that a healthy heart is a searchable heart. It's a searchable heart. So if you want to follow along with me, we'll be all over the Bible. I've just picked a few of these. There are literally hundreds of references in Scripture referring to our heart or our hearts or some form of the word. And so we want to just major today on that a healthy heart, for you and I to have a healthy heart, there are certain signs. And the first one is that it is searchable. Look, if you will, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Verse 9. David says to his son Solomon, he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind." See, if you're going to be an effective believer, you can't check your brain in at the church door. Amen? You need a brain. You got to think. "A loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Chronicles, the entire book of Chronicles, focuses on the heart of God's people. The heart is referenced many times because our actions will follow the leanings of our heart. So that which we incline and devote our hearts to decides what we will serve and become. So a healthy heart is a searchable heart because we realize that the God whom we serve will search out every square inch of our hearts. Every thought, every intent, every motive. So it's important not just what we do, but why we do it. Psalm 39 in verse 23. Psalm 139 and verse 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." A healthy heart wants the Holy Spirit to come and search out the depths of the innermost man. That is to shine the light into the hidden parts and to dig out and expose all things that are unlike Christ. That's a healthy heart. Think about it a minute. For you to ask God sincerely to search out your heart, that is, where you live, how you think, how you feel, and how you choose. That's your heart. Out of that, you live your life. Because it's out of that that you choose, you make decisions, you act. and for anybody to ask the Lord sincerely to search out their hearts is a very gutsy and a very risky thing. Amen? Because you got some stuff in there that you've forgotten about. You've got some stuff in there that happened to you when you was a child, when you were a kid, that you have slammed the door over, that you have boarded up, that you have walled off, and that you have selectively forgotten. But God hadn't. And so it's a gutsy and a risky thing to ask the Lord to search the innermost part of who you are, to find out why it is that you do what you do. Because it's painful. It smells bad. It's embarrassing. Not only that, it's humiliating. We've all, for the most part, got those skeletons there, those boarded up rooms. And yet a healthy heart says, Lord, go down even into the basement where no one else can see and search it out. It's gutsy. It's risky. But it's what? Necessary. It's healthy. Show me a man that prefers a smooth word over a piercing word, and I'll show you someone who will soon backslide into their old ways. I know it's hard, but true. When you and I just play the game, when you and I just go through the motions, without our whole heart, without allowing, and I'm talking to believers, talking to Christians, whenever we don't allow the Holy Spirit to search us out, and we play the game and we go through the motions and we've got everybody fooled, and we don't want to be pierced, we don't want to be convicted, we don't want to be confronted with a hard truth or a hard word. And we'll find those people that don't get too close and that like superficiality. We'll find churches and we'll find preachers and pastors who won't probe too deep and get up in my business. We prefer a smooth word. And sooner or later, we will backslide into our old ways. It's always the case. Jeremiah, here's another one. Jeremiah 17. There's lots of these in Jeremiah. We'll only pick one or two, but two verses, Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Or it may, depending on what version you read, say, maybe incurably sick. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. When the Lord says, I search the heart, I test. The word there means I penetrate. I examine deeply. Some people participate in a scam. Due to a major event such as a banquet or ceremony, they will go to the store and buy a dress or a suit or shoes to wear. They will adorn themselves with this outfit for the event, only to go back to the store the next day and return it. I know none of you have ever done anything like that. They never intend to buy these things to own them. They only want to use the goods for their own purposes and then give them back. Where the store intends to make legitimate sales to legitimate customers, the customers in this situation actually have an entirely different plan in mind. They're running a game on the establishment. In the same way, many of us are attempting to run a game on God. We come to the store, that is the church, and say what we want and what we are committed to. We make declarations regarding what we want. We take for our own purposes what we want from the establishment, only to tell God later that we can't use it and don't want it anymore. We tell God that we want Him and that we are here for His purposes, and then at our convenience, we live for our own fulfillment and purposes. That is running a game on God. The difference is with God, we can't run a game. He has the ability to search the heart. You bet we have. Thirdly, a healthy heart is after more than getting their ticket punched to heaven. A healthy heart is after more than getting their ticket punched to heaven. It seeks to be in His presence and to have daily communion with Him. 1 Corinthians, let's go to the New Testament now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Begin in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart, there it is, of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the Spirit. There we go. First John chapter 1. Here's one more. First John 1. Notice this. First John 1 verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected or completed or matured in Him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says that he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. So a healthy heart is after more than getting their ticket punched. They want communion with Him. They want to love like Him. They want to be like Him in all aspects of their life. Not just what they do, but in how they think and why they do what they do in their motives. Last one. The Lord's searching are not vindictive. The Lord's searchings are not vindictive, but redemptive to get us back into His presence. The reason that you and I are afraid for the Lord to really search our hearts goes all the way back to Daddy Adam and Mama Eve. When they sinned, when they did the one thing God told them not to do, they did what? They hid. And when the Lord went to look for them and said, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't a threat. The tone wasn't a threat. It was simply for Adam to recognize where he was. Do you think God knew where he was? Of course God knew where he was. It's like your kid. You play hide and seek. You know that they're under the bed, but you walk in the room and say, "Where are you? Where are you?" You're just playing the game. You know where they are. God knows where you are too. God knew where Adam and Eve were, and they were hiding because they were afraid. So the Lord was trying to draw them out, not to be vindictive, but in order to be redemptive. And whenever He puts an area on your His finger upon an area of your heart and mine that's scary, that's humiliating, that's forgotten, that's dark, that's nasty, that's smelly, you fill in the blank. It's not to humiliate us. It's not to harm us. It is to redeem us. It is to heal us. Always. And so that's why we invite you, we invite other people to give their heart, their whole selves, all the good, the bad, and the ugly to the Lord. Because He is the only one that can deal with the matters of the heart. Last verse is back in Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24. Begin in verse 5. He says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge those who were carried away captive from Judah." Verses 1 through 4, there's a... The Lord shows Jeremiah a basket of figs, two baskets of figs. So we pick up the story here. "I will acknowledge those who were carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans." In other words, they're enslaved. "For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land." Notice now, this is the word of the Lord coming to His people who rebelled and sinned against Him, whom He finally had enough of their disobedience and their rebellion, And so he gave them over to their enemies. Fine. You want it your way? You want a life without me? You want to live without my authority? You want to live, you want to be the captain of your own ship? Have at it. And so they wind up captives of their enemies. God gave them over to what they wanted. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Now remember, they're in captivity, and this is such a great word. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Isn't that a great promise? That no matter where you are, where I am, even if God has given you over to your rebellion, to my rebellion, if we have just come to the place where we don't want God anymore in our lives, God says, fine, do your own thing. And yet, in the middle of that, he gives this word, this promise. No matter where you are in the process, God's will is to always bring us where? Back to himself. See, he doesn't have to destroy us. We'll do a good job of that by ourselves. Amen? Yeah. He takes his hand off your life. Or if sometimes he gives you what you want and what I want and what I demand. Okay. And then we hit the wall. He'll take us back. He'll give us a healthy heart that is a mature heart, one that is not satisfied with just superficiality and coming to church and playing the game, fooling everybody, being self-satisfied with, well, I'm not as bad as he is. And I sure got more going on than she does. And yet, because of a bad heart, you're dying inside. And that's the thing that God wants to fix. God always wants to get to the heart of the matter so that his people don't die of heart disease. Amen? Don't be a statistic. Let's ask the Lord to search our hearts. Let's pray together. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It starts when you get saved. It starts when you open up your heart to the Lord. It starts when you first say yes to him. But the process takes a lifetime. If you don't stay on top of your heart, like weeds in a garden or weeds in a flower bed, if you let it go very long, there's weeds where there should be flowers. There's grass where there should be something else, vegetables. If you go very long from eating, not eating right and not exercising, and you drink too much, you smoke, or if you don't take care of your heart, sooner or later you will feel all the effects that go with that physically. And so you and I have to struggle to maintain a healthy heart throughout our lives. And it's the same way spiritually. When's the last time you had your heart checked? You asked the Holy Spirit to put you on a treadmill to run all the tests to see if you have a healthy heart. If you're here today without the Lord, you can pay lip service, but your heart is far from Him. And even if you're a believer, you have to ask the Holy Spirit specifically to search your heart. He will. He'll probe. He'll penetrate. He'll go down deep. But He'll do it to heal you, not to destroy you. Are you stuck in life? Could be simply because you have a bad heart, an unhealthy heart, something there that's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be. You may just need to have a heart check. Where do you start? It's as simple as this. If you're a Christian today, you've settled that thing with God. For you, it starts like this. Lord, you know my heart more than I know my heart. Would you search my heart to see what it is that is displeasing to you? Motives, thoughts, intent. The good, the bad, the ugly. Would you give the Holy Spirit permission just to do a full workup on your heart? Just as though you have to present yourself to the doctor, the cardiologist, to do a full workup. He's not going to come to your house. You have to go to Him. You have to go to the Holy Spirit. And would you be willing to say, no matter how painful it is, I've got people around me that will love me through it. I've got folks that will pray for me. I've got folks that won't embarrass me. I've got people around me that will hold me up and walk me through this awful process. And you will find that the Lord will begin to deal with your heart slowly, methodically, but surely, completely. Lord, that's our prayer today. Holy Spirit, because you're never through with our heart, you never get through. Thank you for loving us to such a degree that you are so patient and so kind. Thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. And you continue to love and encourage us. And grant us the grace and the courage, we pray, that when you put your finger on a place in our heart that is painful and humiliating, we will say yes. because you and you alone can bring healing and restoration to our lives. Because that's where we live. Throughout the process, bring our good and your glory. For Christ's sake that we pray. Everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you. Why don't you stand? We are here for you this day, for you today, to pray with you, to agree with God for you. We have our elders here who are happy to speak the word of the Lord over your life. If you're sick in your body, to lay hands on you and to pray and ask God to heal you and touch you. If God is doing something in your heart and your life that only you know about, let one of them agree with you in prayer to God for it, so that you can be strengthened and encouraged and not give up hope and not lose faith and not listen to the lies of the enemy. Amen. But his plans and his purpose for you are good, and that you would bear much fruit, and that you would walk out all of your days that's been appointed for you, that you would impact not only this generation, but the next, because of a deep-seated legacy that you will leave behind, not just for your kids, but for your grandkids. You set the pace and you leave a mark that lives on beyond you. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And that happens when you and I live out of a healthy heart. So let the Lord do his thing in you and be willing to do the hard work on your part. Amen. Amen.